Good morning, church. Welcome to Koinonia. We're so glad you joined us this morning and we can worship together. If this is the first time you are joining us, welcome. Please take a moment to complete the online connect card so that we can get to know you better and pray for you. As we enter into the last quarter of 2021, I would like to remind you that our AGM is coming. Each year, we hold our annual general meeting to share about God's work at Koinonia. For this year, the 2021 AGM will be held online through Zoom on November 28th, which is a Sunday morning. At the AGM, all registered Koinonia members will have a chance to vote for a number of important motions for our church. So please remember this important meeting in your prayer. As we enter into November, do you know that we're only a few weeks away from another Christmas? It was exactly a year ago our church participated in the Richmond Christmas Fund. Within just 2.5 weeks last year, more than 300 toys were being collected, and we have a chance at the church to share the joy of blessing many families and children in need right at Richmond. And Koinonia will continue this momentum for 2021. Yes, we will be doing another Christmas toy drive this year on November 13th, 20th, and 27th. And on these three Saturday mornings, you can drop off your toy donation at Fraserville MB Church, which is the location of our weekly Cantonese worship. For more details about this toy drive, please visit our church website, english.mykc.ca. After almost 20 months of online worship, today I got some important news for you. January the 1st will be the last week of our online service. And starting January the 8th, which is the second Saturday of the new year, we will be resuming a few important programs for our church. Kapos Children Worship, Youth Worship, and also English Adult Worship. You see, this is a lot of changes coming up. And in light of all these new beginnings, we are currently looking for brothers and sisters to serve. And here are some most important and most urgent needs that we are looking for. We need 3 more servants for our site team, 3 more servants for our production team, and 1 more servant for youth worship. So if you have a burden to serve, you can go to our church website, english.mykc.ca/reopening, to sign up to serve. And besides the need of recruiting, I would also like to remind all parents to prepare for January. Please register your kids for Kapos and or youth worship. And in case you still have questions about our children ministry, Kapos, we are planning actually to have an important info session in December. So once you register for Kapos, we'll send you more information how you can join this important info session in December. And for online registration of Kapos or youth worship, you can visit our church website, english.mykc.ca, for more details. Now, as we prepare ourselves to listen to the Lord and worship together, let me invite you to stand. As we are wrapping up another year, let me use Psalm 90 to lead us into worship. Psalm 90 is a prayer of Moses, the man of God. Lord, you have been our dwelling place in all generation. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever you had formed the earth and the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. You return man to dust and say, "Return, O children of man." For 1,000 years in your sight are but as yesterday when it is past, or as a watch in the night. Teach us, O Lord, to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long? Have pity on your servant. Satisfy us in the morning with your steadfast love, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad for as many days as you have afflicted us, and for as many years as we have seen evil. Let your work be shown to your servant and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. Church, let's continue to worship the Lord together.
This is my Father's word, and to my listening ears, all nature sings and round me rings the music of the sphere. This is my Father's word. Skies and seas, His hand, the wonders wrought. This is my Father's world, the birds that carols raise, the morning lights, the lily white, my Father's world. Oh, let me never forget. And though the wrong seems soft, so strong, God is the ruler yet. This is my Father's world. Why should my God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you, you're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom, you know just what to do. God, I look to you, I won't be overwhelmed. Give me vision to see things like you do. God, I look to you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. I will love you, Lord, my strength. I will love you, Lord, my shield. And I will love you, Lord, my rock. Forever, all my days, I will love you, God. Your way. was wrong. I was so with you above the storm. Father, you are King over the flood. I will be still, know you are God. I will be still, know you are God. I will be still, know you are God.
Church, we have a God who is always in control. We have a God who is a good Father. Why don't we respond to Him and pray back to Him with the Lord's Prayer? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Church, you may be seated.
Do you like watching movies? I believe for the past year or so, movie theater has been a place we have kept away from. Especially now with the variety of streaming platforms available in the comfort of your home, watching movies is easier than ever. Yet, there is still no experience like going to the movie theater, especially now with the 270-degree widescreen X and the hyper-realistic, immersive D-box sitting. Nah, it still beats that 85-inch OLED that is sitting, hanging in your living room. I've yet find the time to go watch the latest Bond or Dune or Venom 2 or Marvel's Eternal, Spencer. There's too many good movies I want to watch. Just don't have enough time. You want to babysit with me? Babysit for me? A few weeks ago, Pastor Gabriel used a movie to introduce this series. Although the movie I'll be referring to is not as legendary as the one he mentioned, I strongly believe this movie is far too underrated and deserves a second chance. It has quite a list of casts as well. Orlando Bloom, Liam Neeson, Eva Green, Jeremy Irons, and it was directed by none other than the Oscar-winning Ridley Scott. Kingdom of Heaven was set in the time of the Crusade during the Middle Ages in a remote village in France in 1184. Balian, a blacksmith, is haunted by his wife's recent suicide after losing their unborn child. One day, a group of crusaders came riding into town. One of them approached Balian and introduced himself as his father, Godfrey, Baron of Eblin. Godfrey asked Balian to return with him to Jerusalem, but Balian initially refused, and the crusaders left. However, after a series of events, Balian changed his mind and chooses to follow Godfrey to Jerusalem in hope of finding forgiveness and restoration of his faith. While en route, they were attacked. Most of Godfrey's men were killed, and Godfrey himself was mortally wounded. Upon arriving in the town, Godfrey made Balian swear an oath and makes him a knight before succumbing to his own injuries. The oath that Balian swore is this: be without fear in the face of your enemies. Be brave and upright, that God may love thee. Speak the truth always, even if it leads to your death. Safeguard the helpless and do no wrong. As the story unfolds, the main antagonist, the newly crowned King of Jerusalem, Guy de Lusignan, broke years of peace between the Christians and the Muslim and brought war upon Jerusalem when he murdered the sister of the leader of the Muslim forces. War was imminent. The main crusader army marched out of Jerusalem to meet the Muslim army, but was brutally annihilated. Balian, his knights, and what's left of the townspeople were the only ones to defend the abandoned Jerusalem. Outnumbered and outskilled, it seemed like a futile attempt to defend the city. Although in the end, Jerusalem was surrendered to the Muslim. Balian inspired hope, courage, and purpose to those who others thought were destined failures. If you have a chance to watch this movie, I highly recommend it. But make sure you watch the director's cut, not the theatrical version. Balian's character draws a lot of parallelism with the Bible stories, Bible heroes we've been reading about. A nobody who was brought to greatness through some unlikely circumstance, faced to make choices despite of uncertain outcomes, only to change the trajectory of history because of their willingness. We usually see these people as heroes, people who lived a big life. These past few weeks, we have been looking at such people. Not those big name superheroes, but each a hero in their own right. Have you been able to relate with any of those that we've looked at so far? In the first week, we looked at Abraham's servant. And then we read about Philip. Last week, Haynes brought us the story of Abigail. This morning, we come to the book of Judges to look at one man who thought of himself as a nobody, who almost lost his faith in God. But God showed up, literally, right in front of him, graciously and patiently rebuilding him one step at a time, and eventually through him saved an entire nation and brought 40 years of peace to the Israelites. This is the story of Gideon. If you're not too familiar with this part of the narrative, there is one common theme that cycles through again and again throughout the entire collection of stories in the book of Judges. How Israel sinned and betrayed the covenant with God, did evil in the eyes of the Lord. The Lord allowed the neighboring nation to grow strong and oppress the Israelites. The Israelite would then cry out to God, and Lord would arise one among them and deliver them. And then there would be the period of peace. This cycle repeats over and over again throughout the entire book as each story grows darker, more violent, and more disturbed. Now, we will save a full analysis of the book of Judges in another series, but this morning, as we begin the story of Gideon, we come to Judges chapter 6, verse 1, and it reads, "The people of Israel did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord gave them into the hand of Midian 7 years." If you're a little rusty in your Old Testament history, after Moses led the Israelites out of Egypt and wandered in the wilderness for 40 years, Joshua led the Israelites into the land of Canaan and conquered it. The land was distributed among the 12 tribes of Israel, and the Israelites enjoyed a time of peace. However, they did not follow God's explicit instruction. You see, before Joshua died, he gave clear instructions to all the Israelites how they are to live among other people of the land. Joshua 23, we read this. "For if you turn back and cling to the remnant of these nations remaining among you and make marriages with them, so that you associate with them and they with you, know for certain that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations before you, but they shall be a snare and a trap for you, a whip on your sides and thorns in your eyes until you perish off this good ground that the Lord your God has given you." So the entire book of Judges is the outcome, the resultant of Israel's disobedience towards God. And as we get to Judges 6 in the story of Gideon, this is the picture, the author paints for us. Judges 6. The Lord sent a prophet to the people of Israel, and he said to them, "Thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, I led you up from Egypt and brought you out of the house of slavery, and I delivered you from the hand of the Egyptians and from the hand of all who oppressed you, and drove them out before you and gave you their land. And I said to you, I am the Lord your God. You shall not fear the gods of the Amorites, in whose land you dwell. But you have not obeyed my voice." It is not like God didn't warn them about what would happen if they choose not to abide to his words. God warned them. "I am the God who led you out of Egypt. I am the God who brought you out of the house of slavery. Yes, I am the same God who performed all the wonders and miracles your fathers told stories about. But you have not obeyed what I command you. I told you not to make marriages with them, but you did not listen. I told you not to worship their idols, but you did not listen. There is no one to blame but yourself." So God follows through with his words. God allowed the Midianites to be a snare and a trap to the Israelites. How? How did the Midianites rule over Israelites? Judges chapter 6, we continue to read. The Israelites were forced to hide in dens, in the mountains, in the caves, because during the harvest season, the Midianites and the Amalekites would come with their camels and their livestock, and they come in such great numbers. They are like locusts. They come and they devour the produce of the land and laid waste to the land, leaving nothing behind for the Israelites. So the Israelites cried out to the Lord. Now in the tribe of Manasseh, in the clan of Abiezer, lives a man by the name of Joash. He has a son. His name is Gideon. He was beating wheat in a wine press to hide it from the Midianites. An angel of the Lord came to Ophrah, sat down under the oak tree that belonged to Joash, and the angel said to Gideon, "God is with you, O mighty warrior." God? With me? God, if God is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all the miracle wonders our parents and grandparents told us about, telling us, "Oh, didn't God deliver us from Egypt?" The fact is, God has nothing to do with us. He has turned us over to the Midians. "Go in this strength of yours. Save Israel from Midian. Haven't I just sent you?" "Me, my master? How and with what could I ever save Israel? Look at me. My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the runt of the litter. I will be with you. Believe me, you will defeat Midian as one man." If you're serious about this, do me a favor. Give me a sign to back up what you're telling me. "Don't leave until I come back. I'll bring you my gift." So Gideon went and prepared a young goat and a huge amount of bread. He puts the meat in a basket and the broth in a pot, and he took them back. And the angel said to him, "Take the meat and the bread, place them on the rock, and pour the broth over it." So Gideon did as asked. The angel then stretched out the tip of his staff that he was holding and touched the meat and the bread. And fire broke out from that rock and burned the offering. Holy smoke. Then suddenly the angel disappeared. Oh, holy smoke. I am dead. I have seen the angel of God face to face. But God assured Gideon, Easy there, Gideon. Don't panic. You won't die. So Gideon builds an altar to the Lord, and he calls it God's peace. I can imagine Gideon must be so pumped up that night. He can barely sleep. I can just imagine how excited he must be, lying in bed but still jolty and jolly. He's like, oh my God, I've seen an angel of the Lord. He was standing right in front of me. God is real. No, those stories that grandfather told, they weren't fairy tales. Seriously, the fire broke out from that rock and burned the offering. How crazy is that? Then the voice of God came to Gideon that night. Take your father's bow and the second bow, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal that your father has, and cut down the Asherah that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the stronghold here, with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bow and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah that you shall cut down. Oh, that's hardcore. Hang on. Let me get this right. You want me to go to my dad's place, take down that Baal altar and the Asherah pole? Okay. I need to think about how to do this, all right? You know, this is going to cause some commotion in the village, right? The villagers ain't going to like this. Actually, if they found out, they're going to kill me for it. No way. There's no way I can do this in broad daylight. They will just come, stop me, or just kill me. This has to be done at nighttime when everyone is sleeping. And Daddy's not going to like it when I take two of his bowls. Gideon did some planning. He made some arrangements, got 10 of his servants, and did what the Lord asked him to do. Some guts, huh? The next morning, clearly, people noticed what happened. It was pretty obvious, right? And sure enough, they found out who did it. And yes, they tried to kill him for it. But Daddy stepped in. But Joash stood up to the crowd, pressing in on him. Are you going to fight Baal's battle for him? Are you going to save him? Anyone who takes Baal's side will be dead by morning. If Baal is a god, in fact, let him fight his own battles and defend his own altar. So Gideon became the hot news in town. Everybody knows him by now. They even gave him a nickname. They called him Yerubbaal, which means let Baal fight his own battle. But for Gideon, I believe this must have been quite some extraordinary experience. It's not every day you get to meet an angel of God. It's not every day you get to take down the altar of Baal. But I think this experience has a deeper meaning for Gideon. You see, for Gideon, the fairy tales he heard grandfather talks about, the stories about how God brought the Israelites out from Egypt, led them across the Red Sea, and the stories of the pillars of cloud and the pillars of fire and the quails and the manna, those were fairy tales. But this God is real now. It ain't no fairy tale. God haven't abandoned us. God heard our cry. He is here with us. He is real as it gets. And he said he will use me to save Israel. He said he will use me to save Israel. He'll use me to save Israel against the Midianites? God? If this is right, if you said you're going to use me to save the Israel, I'm going to place this fleece onto the threshing floor. And if dew is on the fleece, but the floor is dry, Then I'll know it is you who sent me. God did, as Gideon asked him. Okay. God, please don't be impatient with me. Just hear me one more thing. I want another try of this fleece thing. You see, this time, can the fleece be dry and the floor be wet? Seriously, Gideon? This is why God is God and I'm not, you see? At least Gideon got the guts to ask God to be not to be impatient with him. So God, being the gracious and patient and kind God that he is, did as Gideon asked him. And for Gideon, this God really went out of his way to show that he is for real. But God didn't just want Gideon to know. God wants all of Israel to know. He wants all of Israel to know that he is God of Israel. The God who was, the God who is, and the God who will continue to be. So as Gideon got up the next morning, with all the men gathered from the neighboring Israeli tribes, from Asher and Zebulun and Naphtali, God said to Gideon, "You have too big an army with you. I can't turn Midian over to you like this. They'll take all the credits for it and say, 'I did it myself.'" "Okay. What should I do?" "Make a public announcement. Anyone afraid, anyone who has any qualm at all, you may leave and go home." Well, that did it. From an army that is 32,000 strong, now it is down to 10,000. Then God said to Gideon, "There are still too many. Take them down to the stream and I will make a final cut. When I say this one goes with you, he'll go with you. When I say this one doesn't go with you, he won't go with you." "Oh, okay." So Gideon brought the 10,000 men down to the stream for a drink of water. And then God continued to say, "Everyone who laps water with his tongue like a dog, set him on one side. And everyone who kneels and drink water with his face, let him set on the other side." That makes sense, right? We want real soldiers. We want soldiers who is ready who to fight. We want soldiers who wants people lap like a dog for water, right? So the men are separated. 9,700 on one side, 300 on the other side. And then God said to Gideon, "I will take the 300. But Gideon was drinking water and almost choked himself. You said, "What?" Before, he was pretty confident. You see, with God on their side, with an army that is 32,000 strong, they finally have a chance to stand up against the Midianites. But with 300? This is not Neonidas and the Spartans. This is 300 who lap water like a dog. We are going up against the Midianites and the Amalekites. I don't even know how many they are. Maybe 135, maybe 140, 140,000. God said 300? Okay, 300 it is. The big man said so, okay? Thank you, gentlemen. Thank you, yes, thank you for coming. Yes, sorry, the party is over. Yes, you're gonna go home now. Yes, I'm sorry, Heber. No, there's not gonna be any fighting this time. What's that, Shamgar? Okay, yes, I got your address. When we really do fight, I'll send word for you, all right? Yes, don't worry. Yeah, thank you for coming, all right? No, don't worry about us, we'll be fine. We'll just head out for a massacre. Oh, yeah, we'll camp here for one more night and see what the big guy says, all right? Yeah, he's the boss, right? Yeah, he's the boss. Honestly, if I am Gideon, I won't be so sure what I'm doing by now. We had an army, 32,000, and we just told 29,700 of them to go home. And we're going up against 140,000 Midianites. That is 1 to 500 almost. I would be pretty shaky. I would be pretty nervous by now. Yes, the big guy said we needed less men, so we won't take the credit. But up against this odd, it's a massacre. It's going to be a slaughter. That same night, the Lord said to him, said to Gideon, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say, and afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." God knows that Gideon is struggling. God is patient and He is gracious. He knows faith needs trust to be built. And trust is built upon a relationship. So God offered yet another sign for Gideon, even before he asks for it. God knows he's having doubts. Any normal human being would be having doubts. But God wants to show Gideon what kind of a God he is. That this God of Israel is worth trusting. That this God his father and his grandfather told him about is worth putting his own life on the line for. So Gideon brought Purah, and they sneak into the outskirts of the Midian camp. And as they are coming up against the camp, they overheard a conversation.
I had this dream. A loaf of barley was tumbling into the Midianite camp. It came to the tent and it hit it so hard that it collapsed and the tent fell.
And then his friend said,
"This has to be the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has turned Midian, the whole camp, over to him."
When Gideon heard what those men said, he fell to his knees and worshiped God. And then he went back to his camp. And then he said, "Get up! Get up! We are going! God has given us the Midianite army. Get up! Get up! We are going! God has given us the Midianite army!" He divided the 300 men into three companies. He gave each man a trumpet and he gave them an empty jar with a torch inside. And he said, "Watch me. Watch me. Watch what I do and what you do. When I go to the edge of the camp, do exactly what I do. When I am with those with me, blow the trumpet, you also. All around the camp, blow your trumpet and shout." So Gideon led his 100 men, and they got to the edge of the camp at the beginning of the second watch, and each company at one side. And they blew the trumpet at the same time, smashing the jar. All three companies blew the trumpet and broke the jar. They held the torches in their left hand and the trumpet in their right hand, and they blew and they yelled, "A sword for Gideon and for God!" And they all standing around the camp. All the Midianites jumped to their feet. They were like, "What the heck?" And then they screamed and then they fled. When all 300 men blew the trumpet, God aimed each Midianite's sword against his companion all over the camp, and they ran for their lives. And with that, God gave Israel their first victory over the Midians. When you look at it closely, they don't even have a sword in their hand. They were holding a torch and a trumpet. This is easily one of the weirdest military battles in human history, comparable to the fall of Jericho when they just walk around the city. But that's exactly the point. It wasn't their battle. They did part of the fighting, but it wasn't their battle. It was all God. We don't have time this morning to go through the rest of the Gideon story. Yes, there's more. But as we have seen already from this early episode, we found that in the beginning, Gideon was, in all honesty, just a nobody. Putting it bluntly, I would even call him a coward. A coward who truly reflected the state Israel was in at that time. You see, I don't want to paint you a false facade of Gideon. He was a hero. Yes, the author of the book of Hebrews even lists him as one of the witnesses along Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David, all who acted and lived by faith. Usually when we retell the story of Gideon, we put a heavy focus on this accomplishment of his in chapter 7. However, the story of Gideon doesn't end here. There's more. And the story even continues with his son, Abimelech. And I believe this is what makes Gideon and the stories in the book of Judges so real and yet at the same time so ridiculous. These are flawed people. These are imperfect people. These are violent, arrogant, promiscuous, idolatrous people. Israel was in no way reflecting their status as the people of God. They acted, think, even behave like all the other people. They acted like the Canaanites. They were not very different from the Midianites. They were no holy nation. Yet, God still chose to use them. Invite them into his story. Participate into his story. Despite how sinful they are, despite how unworthy they are, God remained faithful, relentless in his love towards them, going far out of his way to show, to prove, to demonstrate to them how much he loves his people, giving them the extra they didn't know they needed, making them extraordinary. And as we read from the story of Gideon, God is extending the same invitation to you. This morning, God is inviting you into his story. He is extending his hands and wants you to join him. He wants to use you, work through you, so you can experience his greatness. Will you join him? Do you believe he can and he will work through you? It doesn't matter what condition you're in. It doesn't matter if you think you're unworthy or not qualified or discredited. Who's qualified? Do you choose to believe in this God who does miracle to do another miracle because you said yes to him? Will you choose to see beyond the reality before your eyes and believe in faith the impossibilities your God can do? I want to invite you to a short time of reflection. Allow yourself to sit and let my words echo in your head. And try to see if there are things that pops up in your mind in response to my prompting. This morning, as you listen to the story of Gideon, do you see yourself in similar situations? Do you see yourself conforming to the world around you? Do you see a problem you are facing that seems impossible to solve? Maybe it's a conflict with a coworker. Maybe it's an argument with your supervisor, or maybe you have a very difficult client. Maybe you are absolutely drained out in your job. You just want change, but you can't risk it because you need to put food on the table. Maybe you lost your job, or maybe you can't find a job, or maybe you simply don't know what to do with your life. Maybe it's money. Your finance. Everything is so expensive now, I know. We can barely meet our ends needs. Don't talk about going on vacation. Is there a problem that you're facing that seems impossible? Choose to see beyond the reality that's before your eyes and believe in faith the impossibilities your God can do. Maybe you had a disagreement with a sibling or a fight with your sibling. You haven't talked with each other for a long time. No one is willing to step down. No one wants to say they're guilty and say sorry. Do you believe God can step into this impossibility? Do you believe God has a solution in this paradoxical situation? Do you believe God wants to use you to bring change to the situation? If and only if you are willing. You see, what God has in mind might not be the same as what you have in mind. When and how those changes are to come might not be the same as what you have initially thought. But are you willing to say yes to that? Change might not be what you think. God has His way of change, His time. Will you still choose to say yes? If God can use Gideon to bring change to the Israelites from the Midianites, God can also use you to bring change in your situation. Might not be the way you wanted it or when you wanted it, but are you willing? Are you willing to join Him in His work and allow God to work through you? Are you willing to journey with Him, to partner with Him, to experience Him in an entirely new way? Choose to see beyond the reality that is before your eyes and believe in faith the impossibilities your God can do. I was reading a book with my little girl one night. It was a book by Eric Carr titled, What's Your Favorite Food? It is a collection of 14 artists drawing their favorite food and explaining why they love them. In one of the pages, we read this. The paella is one of my favorite dishes. And I think this sums up our message this morning very nicely. You see, the paella is a dish that consists of many different ingredients. Each plays an important role in creating this special dish. The shrimp cannot say to the rice, I am more important because I give more flavor to the dish. Or the garlic cannot say to the squid, I am better because I take out your fishy smell. No. Each ingredient is as important as the other. Each plays a part in creating this medley. Maybe you see yourself as just a tiny pea, or maybe you are just a plain rice. But nothing in this dish is useless. There is nothing extra in this dish. But put together, all the ordinary ingredients becomes extraordinary. Don't think the decision you made this morning is unimportant or irrelevant. You are not a nobody. You are a part of the Koinonia community. You are a part of the Christian community. Only when we each recognize we are one of the ingredients in this medley will the combination of flavor come together and create a community of impossibilities. Church, can I ask you to rise and pray? Dear Father, I thank you for the story of Gideon this morning. And as we read it, I thank you that you encourage us. Through the story of Gideon, we see your relentless love towards your people. We see how you go out of your way to demonstrate, to show, to prove to us that you love us so much. And Lord, I ask you to help us. Help us to respond to you. Oh Lord, our faith is so little. We face difficulties in our lives that seem so impossible. It's like a giant, it's a wall. And yet, Lord, help me to choose to believe in you because you are the God who does miracle. Help me to see you and help me to see your wonders. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
You hear me? darkness fills the night. It cannot hide the light. Whom shall I fear? You crush the enemy underneath my feet. You are my sword and shield, though troubles linger still. Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind. The God of angel armies is always by my side. The one who reigns forever, he is a friend of mine. The God of angel armies is always by my side. Strength is in your name, for you alone can save. You will deliver me, yours is the victory. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? I know who goes before me. I know who stands behind.
As we conclude our worship, let me encourage you to participate and support the ministry of Koinonia through offering. For online offering, you can go to our church website, english.mykc.ca. And now let's stand for the benediction. I'll be blessing you with the blessing from the Apostle Paul from the book of Ephesians. Now to him who's able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Go in peace, and we'll see you next week.